Running Flat Radio is a paid program on AM 800.
Welcome to Running Flat Radio. Chris Uzinski here and Kelly Steele from Windsor Star. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Chris.
You know what? The weather's finally broken.
It's pretty exciting. I think everyone who either walks or runs was out there today.
They absolutely were. And what an exciting time, because I could see it in the blogs that, you know, finally people are smiling and, mm-hmm. and they're not dreading putting on the shoes in the morning. They're in shorts. They're in singlets. Just reading some of the race results over the last couple days, you know, from this last weekend, have just been unbelievable.
Well, I told you I was out at a race in Point Pelee, the one for juvenile diabetes, right. And you know, he was expecting 200. All it took was the sunshine, and there was 350 people out there.
Perfect. That's great to hear. Absolutely great to hear. And there's so much going on in the running world. I mean, today we've got a really exciting show because we actually have Kevin Callahan, who's one of the founders of Map My Run, which arguably, and I can make this argument with anyone, really kind of changed running in our generation. And then at the half hour mark, we have Krista Duchesne, you know, joining us, who is on fire right now, winning around the Bay a couple weeks ago. Won an 8K on the weekend. That was part of the Canadian Running Series. And so having her and kind of talking about being a mother of three, working on the Olympic standard, I mean, I think it's an exciting conversation to hear that from a Canadian's perspective. And of course, Michael Doyle is on with us from Canadian Running Magazine. You know, next week, we've got a really exciting show that I want to talk about as well. Next week, we actually have all the announcers that announce the runs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, for those of you who've been to a number of runs, you probably may kind of gloss over who the announcer is or what the announcer does, but the announcer is such an integral part of a race and the entire race experience. So we have Dave Roshinsky coming in, who does most of our races and most of the races around this region. We also have Steve Fleck, who is the voice of Ironman in Canada. He's going to be joining us. We got Greg Gannett from 93.9 The River, who also does some of our races, and Glenn Baccaro. So I'm really stoked about having all these guys in the studio. It's going to be a riot.
Oh, trust me, the guy from Ironman last year, I waited 12 months pretty much to hear Kelly Steele, you are an Ironman.
So they're going to join us. And then the week after that, I think what's important is that we talk about cardiac care and cardiac health as we kind of go to that final step before real marathon season in May really kicks off with all the majors. And by us going, and we're going to bring Dr. Tarhouni in, who's the head of the Canadian Cardiac Institute and the Windsor Cardiac Center, a pioneer with a lot of modern technology, especially the cardiophone and some other technology that he's been working with. Having him in here is just going to be a blessing. We're going to talk about why we're seeing cardiac arrests in runners, why it's such a big news story. Mm-hmm. You and I have talked about this off air as
huge.
Well. And it's one of my pet peeves about runners and running is that, yeah, we've had these incidences. They make headline news globally. And really the issue is they're undiagnosed cardiac conditions that we really haven't addressed. And we need to go talk to guys like Dr. Tarhouni and address these issues and get them out of the media and keep promoting the positive news in our sport, not the, oh, why would I go do that? You know, people die doing that sport. If I hear that one more time from somebody, I'm just going to scream.
Oh, every time that happens, I get the same thing. Oh, good thing you run, eh? You're going to die of a heart attack. That's awesome. Well, I guess it would be better just sitting on the couch and die of a heart attack, right?
I think so. You wouldn't make the news.
I definitely wouldn't.
So anyway, those are issues that we got coming up. I mean, Le Chocolat, we're definitely going to publish the routes this week for Le Chocolat. It is a double loop of Riverside Drive. For the half, the 10 is a single loop, and the 5K is its own loop. We're also going to be announcing that Devonshire Mall will be the race kit pickup location.
Well, and I have some exciting news for Le Chocolat. You know how they've been wondering whether guys should come and run the course? Because I think they really think it's a girl race. Well, a nice incentive, as I found out today, I'm going to be pacing Le Chocolat, and all the pacers are women, and we are going to be wearing running skirts.
Nice.
Okay, so there you go.
Nice. Thank you, Jim. Who's listening, I'm sure, from Marathon Pacing. Thank you, Jim. I hope he's not wearing a skirt, is he?
Oh, I hope not.
He'd look kind of nasty in a skirt. But anyway,
would.
But you know what? It's going to be a great event. You know, there's only 500 spots left in the entire event. We plan on selling that out in the next couple of weeks. and then we're just gonna get on with it. We're you know, the wine is on order, the chocolate is on order.
I can't wait.
The final site preparations are being done. It's an exciting event. Runningflat.com if you want more information about Le Chocolat. It is a half marathon, a 10K, a 5K. The swag for, doesn't matter if you're walking the 5K or running the half, everyone gets the same swag. It comes in red and it comes in white. It's a 3-liter box bag of wine that's shaped like a purse. It is like the ultimate swag for this year.
It's pretty cool that you're bringing the pace team, because really, I think there's 10 pacers. For people who don't know what a pacer is, all you have to do is hook up. If it's a 2-hour pacer for the half marathon, all you have to do is pretty much leave your watch at home, run with that person. That person's job is to get you across the line in 2 hours, which is pretty cool that you have the pace team for that.
You know, and we're going to do a show kind of midsummer when Jim's calmed down in his schedule. And we're going to do a show on pacing, because pacing is critical to any large event and any professional event. And the reason for that is it takes the stress off of the runner who's going in for the specific time.
Absolutely.
They just go into cruise control. They fall into the 1 hour and 10 minute, whatever pace group you want to be in.
And they have a group of friends while they're running.
Right.
They don't have to go by themselves, right, which right. I think is a really huge part. For right.
So for the half, I think we're doing 140, 150, 1 hour, or 2 hour. And I think there's a 230 and a 240.
Yep. I think actually 140, 145, 150, 155, two. So there's lots to choose from.
Right. And also, you know, as a race director, I also, because of the complexity of this course, and it is a very complex course, I'll be the first to admit that, you know, I also lean heavily on not just our course directors, but also the pace group to be able to say, you know, follow me.
Yep, exactly.
You know, and help us out with that. Because, again, it is a double loop with a 10K and a 5K that are integrated into it. So
the same start for everyone?
Same start, same finish,
okay.
You know, which is pretty traditional for us. We always try to do that. And try to keep everything localized. So we've got, of course, the Pelee Island Winery half is completely sold out. You wouldn't believe the amount of emails that we've received in the last week about, you know, A, can I get rid of my bib?
Yep.
Because lots of folks are there trying to move their bibs because they can't make it or can't get flights. And at the same time, all the people who are going, I just found out about this. How do I even get on this island to do this half marathon? So,
well, that all goes with the nice weather's here. Everyone's going,
yep,
darn it, I wish I had signed up for that.
And we're seeing the same thing in all of our other races. The Canada Day race, it's moving really fast. And Rock Me Anaphylaxis being our new race, you know, because nothing says fun run like Anaphylaxis. You know, with Kiss Destroyer and a couple of the other musical rock acts on the course, that's been selling really fast as well. So we're looking forward to having a big crew for that one. So we're, you know, everything's on track. It's going to be a great year. How's the Run to Learn Clinic?
Yep. Our first night was last night, and we had 91 people signed up for it. And as I was standing there, a handful of other people came in to sign up. So I think the number's at about 100 people who were out there to learn how to run, which was pretty cool. That says a lot for this area.
Wow, that is a lot of people.
It certainly was.
That would make like a run.
Well, when we went out in the street, it was crazy, which, you know, but everyone's excited. And the really cool thing, it was young kids, it was older people, different shapes and sizes. It was, everyone was coming out to learn how to run. And I love that.
And probably the best thing about it was that it was still light out.
That was, there was no ice, there was no snow.
Yep.
It was, except for the rain, it was really nice.
That's fantastic. And that's through the Running Factory and their Learn to Run clinics that they host. And which one is that? Is that the 5K or is that?
This is the 5K, and it'll be for, I believe it's the next 8 weeks. And then the next clinic will start up. So we do four Learn to Run clinics a year.
Nice. Nice. And congratulations. That's awesome work. Love to hear the stories about having 100 new runners introduced. And that's really what the show is about. It's about getting people kind of acclimated to our kind of running culture. Talking to some really famous people within the running world that really, once you listen to their stories, they're just like you and I.
Mm-hmm.
They're no different. I mean, they all started somewhere. They all started, you know, run walking and running to the post, running to the end of the driveway and doing all that. So, you know, that's what we try to do in this show, is really try to identify, you know, these great stories that we can bring to you and learn more about running, and then, you know, join us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have some great events out there. We have a great running community, and it's, you meet so many great friends in the running community.
And that's a big part of what I say to the people in the clinic in particular. I always say, you know what, these runs when you're running by yourself and, you know, even, you know, on the weekends and at nights, the race is your reward. You know, whether you're going to be fast, whether you're racing it or running it, you go out because you get to have fun. There's people out there who are cheering for you. You get a medal, you get a t-shirt. So why not?
You get a medal?
You get a medal.
I love medals.
I do too.
You're listening to Running Flat Radio. We'll be right back after these messages on AM 800 CKLW.
Cook and Lisa Williams.
Every morning.
My favorite morning show.
The Morning Drive.
On the next show, we'll get details on a wonderful garden party event coming up for the Children's Aid Society at 7:20. It will celebrate food, wine, and spring, and what could be better than that?
Play the impossible question at 7:50, answer correctly, and you can win tickets to Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Experience at the Coliseum inside Caesars Windsor.
At 8:20, we'll speak to the team captain and team leader of the Holy Names Robotics team. They are off to the World Championships later this month.
The Morning Drive. Weekday mornings 5 till 9 on AM 800.
From CTV's Marilyn Dennis Show, CIBC Mortgage Advisor Al Latta on the best mortgage for you.
A fixed rate mortgage, for example, is a mortgage that is, you know, you have the security of a fixed rate for the term of its mortgage. And a variable rate mortgage is one that may change from time to time based on, you know, market conditions and the prime rate. Whatever you're comfortable with is something that you should seriously consider doing.
CIBC Financial Advice. For more, go to Marilyn.ca/finance.
And now, here is Barbara Pierce Marshall with an energy update from Inside Enwin.
As required by the Ontario Energy Board, Enwin is moving its customers to time-of-use billing. By mid-April, all small business and residential bills will be calculated using this system, and customers will begin to receive time-of-use bills in late April and throughout May. To help you make the change, Enwin is offering free seminars at our time-of-use and conservation fairs, April 9th at the Kubota Club, 1:30 to 3:30 and 6:30 to 8:30. See you at the fair.
At Lone Star, we ain't too big for our britches, or chaps for that matter, but we wanted y'all to know that our award-winning authentic fajitas are now in Windsor. What makes them so authentic? Only Lone Star fires their grill with mesquite wood trucked in from Texas. And only Lone Star serves tortillas freshly baked on the premises. And let's not forget all them fixings. Fajitas at Lone Star Texas Grill. Fresh, authentic Tex-Mex.
Now the forecast from the AM 800 Weather Center. Tonight a 40% chance of showers, but clearing before morning and a low of 1. Tomorrow mainly sunny, a high of 13. Wednesday night partly cloudy, a low of 5. Thursday a mix of sun and cloud, a 60% chance of showers, windy and a high of 19. Friday cloudy, a 40% chance of showers and a high of 15. Saturday sunny, a high of 17. Once again a 40% chance of showers tonight, but clearing before morning and a low of 1. Mainly sunny tomorrow and a high of 13.
Hi, welcome to the Hyundai Dealer Invoice Pricing Event.
You can do better.
But Dealer Invoice Pricing means you pay what we pay.
Huh, that really is better.
At Hyundai Canada's Dealer Invoice Pricing Event, you pay what the dealer pays. Our invoice is your price on cars, like the Elantra L. Plus, get 0% financing for 96 months with biweekly payments of $79 and zero down. Hurry in. This event won't last long. Dealer is reimbursed for holdback included in the invoice price. See dealer for details. On select models, dealer may sell for less.
News, weather, traffic, talk. We've got it all. 24/7.
I have no idea how you do what you do every day.
AM 800 CKLW. Looking to start running? Strap on a pair of comfortable shoes. Now put one foot in front of the other and keep going. It's that easy. This is Running Flat Radio on AM 800.
Welcome back to Running Flat Radio, and joining us this evening is Kevin Callahan. Kevin is the president of Running USA, which is really where I know Kevin from, and mm-hmm. And he's also the founder and vice president of innovation for MapMyFitness, which and Kevin was one of the co-founders of MapMyRun. Kevin, welcome to Running Flat Radio.
No, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you. You know, you are like a race director's best friend, and you know, I tell people all the time, because we've had John Stanton on, we've had Meb, we've had a number of people on over the last couple months, And, you know, we always try to, if we can find the time, ask them, what do they think really influenced running or changed running the most in the last, you know, whether it's 20 years, 30 years that they've been out there? I arguably choose Map My Run as really one of the single largest game changers in running. You know, some people talk about GPS watches. Some people talk about the shoes. Mm-hmm. Dude, I'm with you. You're my hero in running. what you've been able to do, and just for those people who've never heard of Map My Run, let's say you're staying at a hotel in downtown Toronto or in Vancouver, and you've got a running route that you want to plan. You can actually go on mapmyrun.com, figure out the route that, oh, it's a 5K in and out or around, you know, or I just ran that. How far did I actually run without trying to get your car down that parking lot or that driveway and really try to figure out what that run is? And, you know, where did you come up with that idea? That was, what, back in 2005?
Yeah, it was back in 2005, and I definitely appreciate your kind words. It's literally changed my life. I created MapMyRun.com in 2005 as I was training for my second marathon. And being a typical sort of dot-commer trying to, I was in the process of starting an insurance company at the time and was bootstrapping, which is a polite euphemism for saying I was broke. And training for my second marathon, I didn't have a car and I didn't want to spend the money on a GPS watch at the time. And so I created this little tool called MapMyRun.com, where literally the first version of the app was, or the first version of the website, I should say, this is pre-iPhone, pre-Android, was a map that you would just pull up and you would plot out your route that you just ran to get an idea of distance. And surprisingly enough, I wasn't the only one that had that need. And 8 years, 9 years later, 22 million users later, we've really turned into one of the largest integrated fitness platforms, consisting of not only our suite of websites, but iOS, Android, hundreds of third-party devices. So it's been a phenomenal ride so far, and it's been the people like you, like the event directors that you meet at Running USA, who really impact sort of what we're doing, and the stories that they tell me on how they're using our inspirational technology really, really inspires us, and that's what we're in it for.
So tell me about, when you talk about integrated technology, what can it do now? I mean, you know, most of us just think about it as just, you know, doing a layout and that's it. But tell us that there's more.
No, there's much more. So with not only our first brand, which was Map My Run, but getting into the other brands, Map My Run, Map My Ride, Walk, Fitness, Hike, we even partnered up with a Subaru this year to launch a dog walking app to allow them to connect their car owners who also love their dog. And in the process, we built a platform that not only sort of can accommodate our own brand, but we've really found a need for other types of services, whether it's different websites out there, whether it's sort of one of the many wearables that are sort of exploding in the market right now, where they can really leverage the technology and the platform that we spent the last 8 years building. I think right now we integrate with something like 400 different devices and services. So it's pretty robust.
Wow.
Now, Kevin, when you came up with this, obviously, you know, you were using it more for personal use. Did you ever think it would take off to where it hasn't? And why? Why are runners using this?
To be honest, I didn't. I kept it as sort of a hobby, but I was training with a Team in Training, which is a national group, and I think they have Team in Training in Canada as well.
Yeah, they do.
And just the reaction of my fellow teammates around all of a sudden having this tool that makes their training easy, that makes their sort of story easier to tell to their friends and their family who they're raising money from. And then all of a sudden it was the coaches and the event directors who were now given this tool where they could sort of visually map out courses and map out training. And you had course officials that loved this tool because they could go out and rough out courses.
Yeah.
I know across the way from you, the Detroit Marathon was an early proponent and a big supporter of us. I remember being out in Detroit about 6-7 years ago with the Detroit Marathon, kind of showing them our tools and and helping them sort of understand this great new technology.
Yeah. So
that was free.
So where in your mind is the future of this technology and running going?
So I believe the future is, well, not to sound too sort of spacey and out there, but you really look at the impact of this type of technology, specifically how people now carry a sort of what we would have considered a supercomputer 20, 30 years ago now in the palm of their hand. And technology is getting faster. It's getting smaller. You have this explosion of wearables, whether it's the Nike Fuel or the Jawbone Up or the Fitbit, the Fitbit bands or the Polar band. And so I truly believe that you're going to start seeing a fusion between this type of technology, all these sensors, all the computing power, sort of some of the advanced kind of fabrics, and you're already seeing sort of the trend towards things more embedded, whether it's in footwear, whether it's in shirts or sports bras or earbuds. But the issue is, and this is what we fundamentally believe, is the issue is with all these different pieces of data, that for the normal Joe, the normal Jane who's training for a 5K, it can be really overwhelming. Mm-hmm. It's because, you know, I mean, it's more than just steps and reps. It's more than miles and minutes. And so how do you take all this data? How do you take that fire hose of information and really kind of distill it down to the end user? So not only do they know where they are now, but they know how to get to where they need to be in the future. And that could be, I want to run my first marathon, but it could also be, I want to lose 5 pounds. It could also be, I want to feel happy. I want to feel healthy. And so how do you take this plethora of noise that are sort of all these data points and really tell that compelling story where it motivates someone, it gives someone something fun to understand and to deal with?
Now, with all the stuff that you've been doing, I have to ask a question. Are you still running marathons?
I was on track to run a marathon this year. I've done 5. Mm-hmm. So I do one every couple of years. I'm just actually signed up for the Tough Mudder, which is sort of the one of the endurance kind of obstacle course challenges. But my last race was 2 months ago. It was a 10K. Mm-hmm. So I'm still in it. I still have fun. I mean, we've built an amazing team here in Austin, Texas, where we all run together, race together,
nice.
Volunteer at events together. So it's my dream where I get to work on really cool technology. But around the sport of running that I just love and I'm so passionate about.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Kevin, you know what? I love the work you're doing with Running USA, and you know what? It's great having you on talking about Map My Run and Map My Fitness. The founder, Kevin Callahan from Map My Run. Thanks, and keep running.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure being on your show.
Thanks,
awesome.
Kevin.
You're listening to Running Flat Radio, and we'll be right back.
From the AM 800 News Center, your number one news source in Windsor, Essex, an information update with Paul Pedro.
Vote results on a tentative four-year deal for 2,300 workers at Caesars Windsor should be released soon. The deal includes wage hikes in 2 of the years, annual lump sum payments of $2,500, payouts for sick days, and a signing bonus. Revenues at Detroit's 3 casinos continue to decline. The Detroit Free Press is reporting the total combined proceeds from gambling at the MGM Grand, Motor City Casino and Greektown Casino were down 5.9% in the first quarter of this year compared to a year ago. And Amherstburg Police Service wants more money in 2014. Chief Tim Berthium says $80,000 is needed for a new computer server, live scan fingerprinting, and tasers. AM 800 Sports, the Essex 73s can advance to the Ontario Junior C Hockey Final tonight with a home win over Wingham. The Leafs visit Tampa tonight while the Wings are in Buffalo and the Jays are home to Houston. From the AM 800 Weather Center. Tonight, a 40% chance of showers, but clearing before morning and a low of 1. Tomorrow, mainly sunny, a high of 13. Wednesday night, partly cloudy and a low of 5. Right now in Windsor, Essex, 13 Celsius, that's 55 Fahrenheit. I'm Paul Pedro, AM 800 News.
When you're able to focus your mind and your body, anything is possible.
From 5K runs to half marathons to the full 26.2 miles. We talk about it all on Running Flat Radio, Tuesdays, 7 till 8 on AM 800.
Welcome back to Running Flat Radio. And, you know, just before we get to one of our other feature interviews with the great Krista Duchesne, we got to talk about the Song of the Week. Because the Song of the Week is by Top Notch. It's Top Notch by Manchester Orchestra. It's one of these crazy rock and roll songs. It's great to get, again, off the driveway and just get the blood going. And give it a listen. That's Top Notch by Manchester Orchestra.
I like that.
Yeah. We're gonna keep featuring new music for you guys, and every week we're gonna drop it in there during the show, just so you go, okay, I'm gonna add this to my playlist for Tuesday afternoons for doing whatever easy runs mm-hmm. or however you want to do that. So, but I'm really excited to. I was up at Around the Bay.
Mm-hmm.
We were exhibiting there a couple weeks back, and I was on the finish line, and Krista Duchesne, who joins us now on the Running Flat Live line. Hi, Krista. How are you?
Hello.
Hi, Krista.
Hi.
And Krista won Around the Bay.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And you know, we're just kind of going through your recent wins and your recent appearances. You have been incredibly busy for such a terrible winter that we've had up here in Canada.
Yes, I do have a lot of races this spring, which is a bit more than normal, but that was the plan since I'm not doing a spring marathon.
I mean, let's go back to the fall of last year at Scotiabank, where you actually broke the woman's Canadian record of 220, is that 228?
228.36.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And then shortly after that, you did an indoor race?
I ran Scotiabank in October, and then I usually take in November, December, just pretty low-key. And then I did a track race, 3,000-meter in Toronto in February. So that was the first race I did on the track, probably since about 20 years ago.
Right, and that was 9:41, 51, 300-meter indoor.
3,000-meter. I don't even know what the time was, to be honest. It was just kind of trying to get the legs a little bit faster, get me out of my normal comfort zone which is, you know, marathon training. So Leslie Sexton was ahead of me, and it was a great race, and I'm glad I did it.
Yeah.
So, Krista, let's take you back a little bit, back to 2002 when you ran your first marathon.
Mm-hmm.
Why a marathon?
Just for fun. I ran track and cross country in high school, but hockey was more my passion. So when I went to the University of Guelph, I picked hockey as my main sport. I did start cross country running back when Dave Scott Thomas was fairly new to Guelph,
mm-hmm.
but because my mom was sick at the time with cancer, it was just too much to do two varsity sports and study full time. So I put the running on the back burner and just ran to stay in shape for hockey. And then after graduating and doing my internship and getting married, I decided to get back more into running just for the fun of it and to stay in shape. So mm-hmm. it was just for fun initially. It still is fun.
Well, I have to say that's amazing. Your first marathon is a 3:38, which for most
328.
People... 328, which mm-hmm. for most people is, that's a crazy fast time at that. Now you've taken a full hour off that time. How does that feel? Does that not, when you look back, does that not sometimes blow your mind that you're that fast now?
Well, I get asked, you know, a lot about that, and there has been no secret to me decreasing my overall marathon time other than plain old hard work and consistency, taking solid breaks. It sounds crazy, but basically each time I was pregnant and had a baby, that was a break.
Mm-hmm.
So that was three times. You know, that's basically a full year to two where you're not competing seriously. So I just start chipping away at my time, and I remember several years ago looking at what the standard would be and what it might take to make the 2016 Olympics, and I just kind of did the math on a piece of paper, and here I am far beyond what that was at the time.
That's pretty amazing. I was reading your blog, and like I know you have three kids, and I noticed that you said you're getting up in the, you know, it's minus 30, and you're getting up at 4 and 5 in the morning and ripping out these long miles. Now, what is it that you love so much about running that gets you up in the morning, gets you doing that? Because it has to be a crazy schedule. I noticed that your weekly mileage is, what, 125 kilometers a week or something?
Well, right now my mileage is low at about 120 kilometers a week, low for a marathoner. Obviously, when you're training for a marathon, it's higher for, you know, most at this level. I get around 170 might be my average mileage on the higher end for marathon training, but you know, I believe it's a passion that God's given me, where I can get excited to go to bed at 9 or 9:30 and get up at 4:30 to run 25 or 30 K to be back at home, you know, with my family. It's just kind of a passion that's in me. I've always been a super active, high energy person. When I was young, my mom used to lock me out of the house and make me run laps around the house until I could calm down and come inside without being too energetic. So I guess that hasn't changed too much, and you know, my kids are proving to be the same.
Now, did I get it right that you're a graduate of LCCVI?
That's right. Yes, I am.
Where did you live? I'm from Wyoming.
Okay. Alvinston was my hometown. I went to Brook Central.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Very cool.
Lancer.
Absolutely. I saw your photo, and that's what I went. You don't see many LCCVI graduates, so I had to ask.
What was neat, I did a talk to at a cross-country banquet last year, and there were some graduates there. So we, you know, took a picture, and of course, I'm a few years older than them, but, you know, it's neat to have that connection.
That's very cool.
So, Krista, the Running Flat radio show really is all about getting people off the couch and into their first K, really kind of giving them an understanding of how, you know, what a great sport we all work in, and how what amazing people are here as well. It's great to share these talks with people and these experiences. Can you give some advice to that person who's looking to get involved in the sport, get off the couch, and, you know, what advice would you give them?
Well, as a dietitian, I see people Wednesday nights. I work from 4 till 8, so it's often cholesterol, diabetes, weight loss, and, you know, just because I'm a runner, I'm not encouraging them to run because of that. But I do say to people, you know, brisk walking, if you can work your way up to a jog and then a run, is your best bang for your buck to get in shape. Obviously, you want to listen to your body and be careful to not get injured. But, you know, if you only have half an hour and you can do a half an hour jog, you're really going to be working your body and using it in a great way. So, you know, that's one way that you can look at running. It's an easy and relatively cheap sport. You know, you just get a decent pair of shoes and some running clothes and you can be out the door whenever you want. There's so many advantages. I think once you get over that, you know, initial pain barrier, then it becomes quite enjoyable when you sign up for your first race. And then, of course, once you do your first race, it's all about beating your time.
I do a lot of Learn to Run clinics, and I know a really big thing that people ask me is, you know, do they need to change their diet now that they're starting to run? What would your advice be to them?
You know, my diet is pretty much the same as what I say to everyone. You want it to be half vegetables, your plate, half vegetables at lunch and dinner, with a quarter of it would be your lean protein, and a quarter of that would be your whole grain with a glass of milk. It's pretty simple. I have a decent size, quite a big breakfast actually, oatmeal and berries and fruit and Greek yogurt with cottage cheese and some walnuts. Drink plenty of water throughout the day, and really there's no secrets to it, but the best thing to do, just like as you slowly get into running, is to gradually make changes. You don't have to just go on this running diet, which I don't think there even is one, overnight, but you want to slowly make changes that you can keep forever, because if you continuously make changes to improve your diet as you're increasing your running, you're only going to look and feel better with every day.
And what does the rest of 2014 look like for you and your schedule?
I'm doing the Yonge Street 10K this weekend, so that will be my third race in 3 weeks. I've never raced that close together, but it's fun. It's a nice change to be racing more. And then I'll take 2 weeks, and I'll do the Montreal, the Canadian Half Marathon Championships. And then I'm going to get back on the track again. There's a 10,000 meter in London, May 18th, I believe. Then we're going to head up to Ottawa as a family in May. My husband and the two boys will do the 5K. I'll do the 10K, and I'm going to commentate the marathon again, which is really fun.
Wow.
And then in June, I'll head out to Vancouver and do the half marathon, probably do another race, just not sure yet what that will be and where. And then hopefully between now and then, I will receive official word about the Commonwealth Games, whether or not I made the team. So if I've made the team, I do have the standard, then I will race that in July, and that's in Scotland.
Now, after a big race like Hamilton or a marathon, what do you do the next day? Do you take rest days? Because you're like right now, it sounds like your schedule is really packed in there.
Usually after a race, I just do an easy run. I always like to get in the pool the day after a race because I think the water is so therapeutic to just, you know, move everything around. It helps you to get stretching. But, I mean, the last 2 weeks I raced the Bay, and then the next day I did an hour in the pool and then a 20K run, and then I did the same this week. So I find it easy. I mean, I guess for most people it seems like a lot to do a 20K the day after a race, but, you know, you listen to your body. If it feels achy or sore or, you know, it's just telling you to take the day off, then my coach and I would make those adjustments. But typically it's not until the second day after a race that I'm feeling it. So
yeah.
Tuesday after the Bay, I definitely really had to lay low and just, you know, spend more time just laying on the couch as much as I can, which is hard to do with three kids. Two are in school, but yeah, just really rest and recover and take care of yourself. Get to bed a bit earlier, you know, just be diligent with your stretching and those kinds of things.
Now, one other really quick question. I know Hamilton made a big change in the course this year in their front half. What'd you think of the new course?
Yeah, that's a good question. That was my seventh time doing it, and it was likely one of my most difficult times doing it. You know, I did start out attempting to go after the record. You know, Lanny set some good records last year, the marathon obviously just ahead of me in Toronto, and then the Bay and you know, the half marathon. I guess it's unofficial, but, you know, it's great that we keep setting the bar high. We've got, you know, standards to go by. So, you know, the first 10K of that race was way more hills than before, and I'm not good to remember courses, but mm-hmm. I do remember thinking, okay, I do not remember all these hills six other times I did it. So I waited until the halfway point to readjust. I looked at my clock. I was perfectly on pace for the split to make the record, but knowing the last 10Ks is hills, mm-hmm. there was no way it was going to happen with, you know, the wind. So I basically decided just to finish strong, and it was definitely different than other years, but it's still an amazing event that, you know, wouldn't turn me away. It would just make me, you know, kind of adjust my strategy knowing that there's, you know, that many more hills in that race.
Krista, thank you very much for joining us. It was a pleasure having you on Running Flat Radio, and hopefully one of these times we'll actually have you down in southwestern Ontario, maybe doing a half or maybe doing one of our fulls.
Nice.
And good luck in the rest of your year.
Oh, thanks. It was great to talk to you.
It was a
thanks,
real pleasure.
Krista.
Thank you very much. And you're listening to Running Flat Radio on AM 800 CKLW.
Nothing like the nice weather to put a spring in your step. And there's nothing like the Zing Into Spring sales event to put a deal in your driveway. Featuring the 2014 Ram 1500 Quad Cab SXT 4x4 for $26,295. With $1,500 in loyalty bonus cash if you own or lease a pickup. Don't get dinged somewhere else. Get zinged into spring. See your Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram retailer for details.
It's easy to do more with Save On Energy.
Saving energy saves you money. And now you can find some of those savings in your wall, your garden, and under a lampshade. That's because Save On Energy's coupon event helps you save on a number of energy-efficient products, including dimmer switches, heavy-duty outdoor timers, and Energy Star-qualified LED light bulbs. Simply visit a participating retailer or download your coupons at saveonenergy.ca before April 27th. Funded by the Ontario Power Authority and offered by your local electric utility.
Next time you go to open a can of cloverleaf tuna, we ask you to open your mind to the possibilities. Because tuna isn't just rich in protein, a source of vitamin D, and low in fat. It can also be tasty tuna shepherd's pie or mouthwatering tuna and broccoli penne. or spicy tuna quesadilla. Get these amazing recipes and more at cloverleaf.ca. Cloverleaf. Open up the possibilities.
Now the forecast from the AM 800 Weather Center. A 40% chance of showers tonight, but clearing before morning and a low of 1. Mainly sunny tomorrow, a high of 13. Partly cloudy Wednesday night, a low of 5. Mix of sun and cloud Thursday, a 60% chance of showers, windy and a high of 19. Cloudy Friday, a 40% chance of showers and a high of 15. Sunny Saturday, a high of 17. A mix of sun and cloud Sunday, a 30% chance of showers and another high of 17. Once again tonight, a 40% chance of showers, but clearing before morning and a low of 1.
At Cora, it's going to be a great day because along with our warm service, you can now savor our featured plate, the Spring Omelette, with savory cheddar and bacon, green apple slices, maple syrup, and a specialty coffee for only $9.95. Cora, breakfast beyond compare.
How Bell makes watching TV better.
Brad from Red Deer asks,
I heard Bell has the best satellite TV service in Canada. Can you tell me more?
Sure, Brad. Every Bell satellite TV package includes major networks, specialty programming like TSN, and a ton of HD channels. And even better, Bell's HD picture quality is up to 1080p, the best available. Don't settle for less than the best.
Get the best satellite TV service in Canada. Visit a Bell store or the source for details. Bell, watching TV just got better.
This Sunday at 9, the MTV Movie Awards go live. And with a lineup this big, anything can happen. Seth Rogen, Cameron Diaz, Zac Efron, Jonah Hill, Ellen Page, Mark Wahlberg, Shailene Woodley, Channing Tatum, Mila Kunis, Seth MacFarlane, Eminem, and Rihanna. The MTV Movie Awards, hosted by Conan O'Brien. It's biggerer, badderer, Conaner. And it all happens live this Sunday at 9 on MTV. Brought to you by the all-new Kia Soul.
The news you can't ignore.
I don't agree with you.
Hear about it.
Talk about it.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
AM 800 CKLW, the information station. Keep fit.
Keep active.
Keep running. This is Running Flat Radio on AM 800.
Welcome back to Running Flat Radio. Chris Yuzinski and Kelly Steele in the studio. You know, it's always exciting to have, you know, someone like Krista Duchesne, who's really at the pinnacle of her career, mm-hmm. and really kind of driving the bus. She's made the Olympic standard, and not like, you know, where we were, you know, a couple years ago where we had two great runners, but they hadn't made the Olympic standards and nobody went to the Olympics. But you know, to talk about that and a lot more in the news of running is our good friend Michael Doyle from Canadian Running Magazine. Michael, how are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Awesome. Good. Thanks. It was great having Krista on.
Yeah, she's always fun to talk to.
Yeah, and she's on a roll.
Yeah, she went one back-to-back weekends, which is pretty impressive. You know, I just heard her talking to you guys before about how they changed the course a little bit at Around the Bay this year, and it was a much grittier course in the first half, and how she managed to hang on there and win anyway. And then coming back this weekend, I was at Harry's Spring Runoff in Toronto and in Hyde Park, which is also for an 8K, a really hilly course, which it finishes with this brutal 400 meter climb in the park just before it finishes. And she totally dominated. I mean, she didn't have anybody chasing her in the end and ran really well. So it should be interesting to see. She's racing again, I believe, this weekend in Toronto at the Yonge Street 10K. So it should be interesting to see how she handles a really fast downhill course and if she can win for three weekends in a row, which would be quite impressive.
That's a crazy schedule, eh? Three back-to-back weekends? I can't imagine.
Yeah, she's sort of like, I guess, a bit of a running mercenary right now because she doesn't have a marathon this spring. I think she wisely chose to back off a little bit. You know, she had a heavy 2013 with you know, all the drama, all the ups and downs, and that incredible run that her and Lanny had in Toronto at Scotiabank, getting under the women's record. And I think it was smart for her to recharge her batteries this spring and just kind of run free and attack a couple of shorter distances and see if she can rack up some wins and gain some confidence for the fall.
Dude, she's a mom of three and and a high-performance elite athlete. You bet she's a mercenary to do that. She is
absolutely
awesome. She's awesome to do that.
She's such an inspiring figure. And I think Canada's really lucky right now because we've got Lanny Marchand, who is – a lawyer and a really interesting person, and she just seems to be getting better and better. And then also Krista, who is challenging her all along the way and is, you know, getting close to 40 now, has 3 kids, and is seems to also be just, you know, setting new heights every year with her, with what she can do too. So I think we've got a really exciting story on the women's side with the marathon. Yeah.
And it kind of goes back to what we were saying before. I find it really cool that a lot of these people, these women in particular, who are killer athletes, they're not young kids. They're like, you know, some of them are creeping up to the 40s, and they are still pulling off stellar times.
Absolutely. I mean, I think this is a kind of a general trend with running as well, and why distance running is becoming so popular in Canada and in the United States is that, you know, you can discover new things about yourself well into your 30s and 40s. I mean, you look at the average runner in North America is about a 35 to 40-year-old woman. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that's a trend that I think what it is that running is something where, especially distance running, 10K, half marathon, it's so accessible, and it's something that you can improve on well into your 30s and 40s too. So I think that's really why it's becoming so popular.
Now, Michael, early in the show, we had our friend Kevin Callahan on, the founder of Map My Run. He was the president of Running USA.
Right, yeah.
And we've been members of Running USA for about 3 years now. And I love the organization. I mean, it's great to kind of sit around, commiserate, and have great stories with Dave McGivalry and other race directors like Disney and all the folks from around North America. Like Alan Brooks, you know, because we never get a chance to sit down with folks like that. And it's always great to learn what's going on. And they've just released a report on really the state of our industry.
Yeah, I mean, every year they come up with this great state of the sport report where they track the numbers pretty closely in the United States. And I think that, you know, although unfortunately right now we don't have anything like that in Canada, I think we can extrapolate from that data that we're kind of, you know, I think the trends are really similar, and it's showing that the sport is still growing. We're still right in the midst of a huge running boom, and the half marathon's really driving that right now. I mean, the numbers keep growing 10% every year in the half marathon, and it's also, like we were talking about before, like the boom is being driven by women. It's a 60-40 split, just about women to men in the half marathon, which is pretty amazing, and I think something that's really exciting for the sport.
Yeah, so what you'll find in that report is that marathon is pretty flat, a little bit of growth in marathon.
Yeah.
Half marathon has been the explosion for the last decade.
Boom.
And you know, the American numbers are a little bit different than ours. You know, the American numbers in running, female running, is female have just gone over that 55%, 54% mark in being able to, when you look at all the folks running in the United States who are in that report. What's interesting is in Canada, our numbers are much different. They're much more skewed. They're much more mature. Mm-hmm. In Canada, our numbers are closer to 2/3 is our approaching mark now for
2/3 is women.
2/3 women in our sport when it comes to marathon and half marathon. We have a much different culture of running and equal rights of women running in Canada than the Americans do, and that is something that we've had long conversations with our American friends and race directors about this, and that's really changed running. In it's really kind of made Canadian running much more driven by women today than it is men versus, you know, the United States is just catching up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's something that's really exciting too, and that's something that seems to mirror our readership of our magazine. You know, and I think that's a really good thing, and I think that Canada's, you know, kind of on the vanguard when it comes to how distance running is growing. Because, you know, for many years, I think, you know, particularly half marathon, marathon road racing was seen as something where, you know, it was like these skinny, aggressive running, male running nerds that were dominating these races. And now it's becoming much more of a mass participation sport. It's a deeper sport, a sport that is different things for different people. And I think that's really exciting.
It's a sport that changes lives, man. Like, as a race director, we change people's lives every single day. It's not about the race. It's about that journey that you take when you decide that you want to get off that couch and you want to, you know, you want to go for that walk down the driveway, which becomes a trot, which becomes a jog, becomes a run. I mean, it's that journey that we help facilitate.
And I do think, too, a huge part of that is the social aspect. I know in my running clinics, a lot of the women come out because it's a night away from the family. It's a night away from the kids. It's a night when they can walk or run with their girlfriends and they can talk about what's going on in life while getting some exercise. I think people have really, really started to realize that, you know, you don't have to be fast. You just come out, you run, and you get some catch-up time with some good friends.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, and like fast, I always say, is a very subjective thing because, you know, by comparison, there's always somebody that's going to be faster, you know, unless you're an East African runner, right?
Yeah, so true.
Yeah. Hey, Michael, in the last 30 seconds of the show, can we talk a little bit about the London Marathon?
Yeah, it's coming up this weekend. Speaking of East African runners and being the fastest in the world, it's coming up this weekend, and it's got Recool Set, the top Canadian runners running there. But I think as exciting to watch is the two of the fastest runners of all time, Geoffrey Mutai and Wilson Kipsang from Kenya, are going head-to-head with Mo Farah, who everyone remembers won double gold in the Olympics in London a couple of years ago, and he's doing his marathon debut. I think it might, if it pans out, it might be the greatest marathon race of all time to watch. So it's going to be streamed online, live. It's totally worth watching. I think everybody Sunday after the long run should take a should watch.
Michael, give me a guess on what you think the final time's going to be. What are these guys going to rip this out at?
I think it's going to be probably 204s. The world record is 203.5, just about.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to be a little off that because London's got some uneven cobblestones and stuff like that. It's a pretty twisty, windy course, but it is flat, so it's going to be fast. They'll be around 204s.
Incredible. Thank you, Michael, very much for joining us on Running Flat Radio. We'll talk to you next week. And, you know, thank you very much, Kelly, for joining us.
Thank you, Chris.
And we will talk next week with It's All About Announcers on Running Flat Radio, which is going to be a really cool show because we're talking about why it's such an entertaining thing to be at. Anyway, thanks for listening to Running Flat Radio, and keep running.
And that's the end of it.